4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. Today we're continuing our series, The Spirit of Faith. And, of course, today we are discussing and emphasizing faith as a supplicator. Faith as a supplicator. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith. According as is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." And so we see the main ingredients of the spirit of faith is someone who believes and speaks. Now, in the New Living Translation, we see here in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we're going to read down to verse 18. "But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe God, so I spoke. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, as God's grace reaches more and more people. There will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory." That's why we never give up. And so we're talking about faith as a supplicator, so that means we never stop praying. We never should stop or stall in petitioning God. And God receive more and more glory. Verse 16, "This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles we can see now, but rather we fix our gaze on things we cannot see. Be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Everybody say praise the Lord for that. But the things we cannot see will last forever. So we emphasized that last week as faith as a seer, and we talked about how important for us to look at the eternal things and not fix and focus on temporary things or temporary circumstances. So we ought to be looking at the eternal. So we shared in the previous weeks, the spirit of faith will function and deploy as a servant, one, as a soldier, as a shield, as a stance, as a speaker, and last week, as a seer. Today, we want to emphasize the point of faith as a supplicator. So we're going to dive into your prayer life. Because your faith life and your prayer life are linked together. Your faith life and your prayer life are linked together. And so here's some examples, Bible examples of faith for our specific situations. Look at Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. Job chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. It says, "If you would earnestly seek God." How do we seek God? Earnestly. I mean, don't come at him trying to throw some little tip or token, say, "God, when you get time, could you please help?" No, we got to press into God. That's what it means, earnestly seek God. That means we got to press in by faith. It said in Job chapter 8, verse 5 through 7, it says, "And make your supplications to the Almighty." So you seek God to give him a petition so that that can be granted in your life. "And if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you and prosper your rightful dwelling place." This is awesome. "Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. King James says greatly. So you can increase from where you are as you seek the Lord and give him your supplications. God is into prospering you, not into harming you. God is into increasing you and not into decreasing you. So where there is a struggle, where there is a great stress going on against you and your well-being, when supplies and resources are small and shrinking, when you are faced with negative situations, supplications are needed. You need to be putting in your prayers intentionally, specifically to God. A lot of people want to profess their problems, but they don't want to pray and give them to the Lord about their problems. So the real litmus test is, have you prayed about your pain? Have you prayed about your problem? Have you asked God to help you in your situation? Look at David's examples. I'm going to go through several scriptures. Psalms 8, 9. The Lord had heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Look at David. The Lord has heard my supplication, my prayer. Psalms 28, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he heard the voice of my supplications. He heard the voice of my supplication. So, amen. You see the spirit of faith in there. They're believing. He believed the Lord heard him, but he believed the Lord is hearing, so that means he was speaking. He was believing and speaking. He says, I believe the Lord heard my supplications. You and I must believe that the Lord is hearing our prayer petitions and supplications. Psalms 30, verse 8. I cried to you, Lord, out to you, Lord. O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. Faith as a supplicator. Psalms 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. These are all different situations that David was in, because you got to remember, do you see the picture here? David was a man after God's own heart, and it is said of David that he prayed three times a day. Part of his prayers including and making sincere supplications to God. He didn't go day by day without requesting God's help, God's favor, God's support and strength to do his job and to fulfill his role and responsibility. Neither should we go about our days and weeks without requesting God's help, God's intervention, God's support, and God's strength and God's favor for our daily situations and needs. Part of our prayers, of his prayers, included sincere supplication to God. Also know that there was his supplications and his prayers. You know, the Bible even says prayers, the prayers of the saints are like incense to God. That means God can smell them and see them. How do your prayers smell? How are your prayers seen? See, faith as a supplicator makes prayer a business of your daily life. Makes business of prayer, the business of prayer, your daily lifestyle. That means I'm going to God to handle this business. Business may be something in your family, in your finances, in your body, in your life. Your job situation, you should be saying, let's pray about it. Let's not just talk about it. Let's pray about it. Is everybody here this morning? How many of your supplications and prayers are put before God? Now, if you're serious as a supplicator, you say, these are my supplications. This is what I got, petitions I've got in heaven right now. You've written them down. Most of us have smart devices. We ought to have a prayer journal on our phone. In other words, we're keeping track of, Lord, these are things I'm requesting of you, sir. Most gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm asking. Big mouths get big rewards. If you don't ask, you don't receive. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, the door won't be opened. Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. Everybody who knocks the door was going to open. Everybody who seeks will find. He said, how much more the Heavenly Father will give good things to those that ask him. But what if I don't ask, Pastor? Well, God doesn't operate off of mental telepathy. He knows your thoughts, but he needs your faith. He knows your thoughts, but he needs your faith. He knows your trouble, but he needs your faith. Amen. And the spirit of faith has two ingredients, believing and speaking. That means there's no there's no situation where we say unspoken requests. That's not an official, valid prayer in the kingdom of God. We have to speak our requests. We have to make known our requests to God. Your voice is your address in the realm of the Spirit. And the harvest of blessings come into your life and the harvest or manifestation of your prayers in life don't have a wrong address to it. God never gets confused, and the prayers that are heard are qualified to be answered. The prayers that are heard are qualified to be answered. He says his ears are open unto us prayer. But Pastor, wait a minute. Everybody's praying all over the earth. How do you know he's hearing my prayers? The prayers that are heard qualified to be answered. And God's not hard of hearing. He's God, and he's the only one that can hear a million people pray all at the same time. And he can sort out who's praying in faith. And he'll land on the person who prays in faith. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Well, let me ask you two more questions. What have you not submitted yet to God, your Heavenly Father? In prayer. Because it's easy to promote the problem. It's easy to profess the problem. But have you prayed about your problem? Are they still in heaven? Are they in heaven or are they still in your heart? Do you have prayers that have not yet been spoken before God? In faith. Listen to this in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now he tells us don't worry about anything. So anything that comes into your worry circle of your heart and life, you're supposed to do what? Give it to God. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. So people are worried about, well, I don't have enough money. People are worried about, I don't have enough medicine. People are worried about, I don't know if I have sufficient to take care of this. Worried about their kids, worried about their finances, worried about their future, worried about their family. Don't worry about what? Nothing. Pray about everything. So have you prayed about everything? Have you went down the list and said, God, here's my this thing and that thing and this other thing and this other. He's not loading him up. You're not overloading him because he told you don't be worried about nothing. Your load limit is zero. People get stressed out over the holidays. I don't have the money to buy presents and do the things and still pay the bills. Why are you worried about it? What are you stressed out about? This is a season of thanksgiving. Because he said, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication. Everybody say supplication. That means you got to use your faith as a supplicator. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You got to make your request known to God. How? Not by keeping them in your heart or keeping them in your head. The worries and cares and anxieties of life. Got to give it to the Lord by faith. We said casting your cares on the Lord is three things. It's a deliberate act. It's a deliberate speaking. It's a deliberate follow-through. The spirit of faith is believing and speaking. So you act upon the word. You say, well, I'm going to give it to the Lord because I know he cares for me. And I know he told me not to worry about it, but to give him everything. So, Lord, here it is. It may seem small or minuscule to you, but it's big to me. It's a big burden to me. Come on now. You got to give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. So you got to be praying about it. I mean, all your prayer isn't just patty caking. It should be petitioning. And say, Lord, we need this to open up. We need this to go. But you don't worry about it. And when you give it to the Lord, you give him the password, which is thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking my supplication. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of this burden. Thank you, Lord, for taking the care of this away from me so I can have your peace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's a deliberate act. It's a deliberate speaking. It's a deliberate follow-through, because if you start worrying back again about that thing, oh, I'm going to have enough money to pay the bills, or I can't, CPS sent me a notice, you know, all this other stuff. You coming into your brain, what should you do? Give it to the Lord. See, this is a big to-do with our faith as a supplicator. First, we have to give our worries and anxieties to God. How do we do that? We said by faith. Remember, you're not going to do it by feeling. Now, one of the powerful truths about worry and anxieties. Thoughts may come. Kenneth Hagin said, thoughts may persist, but thoughts unuttered die unborn. So, in other words, you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent a bird from building a nest in your hair. So thoughts may come, thoughts may persist, but thoughts unuttered die unborn. So once you start uttering, what are we going to do about the bills? What are we going to do about this situation? You haven't given to the Lord yet. So your partners, your faith partners, should be real keen in and say, all right, let's pray about it. That's what we're going to do. Right now, we're going to give it to the Lord. We're going to exercise our faith as a supplicator and give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord, and then thank him for it, that he's going to give us the answer. He's going to tell us what to do, because we're going to trust him and not trust what we see and feel. We got to get into that habit where we exercise our faith as a supplicator. Somebody say, glory to God. So remember, we keep our worries and anxieties by fear. So if we're afraid that those things might be real and then they might be too hard to overcome, then we'll hold on to them by fear. But God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. But the same spirit of faith believes and what? Speaks. Secondly, to do, we have to ask God in faith and confident trust for what we need or want and thank him for it. Now, what would you have on your prayer list, friends, if you knew money was never an issue? Or anything was an issue for you getting it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is where the rubber meets the road, friends. You got to have faith in God and trust in him. See, we are not to carry and fret over our situations. We are to give the care of it to the Lord, cast our cares on the Lord, and then ask him for, in faith believing, for what we need and want. Remember, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. That means we won't lack. If you ask, is he going to get mad at you for you asking for a new job? If you ask him for a promotion, if you ask him for a business opportunity to get some extra income coming in, is he going to get mad because you say, well, Lord, we need an extra $100 or $1,000 this month to come in? he would rather you ask him for that than worry about not having enough money during the holidays. Think back to David for a moment. He was king over all of Israel, and perhaps at the time he had 2 to 3 million people. He was responsible to govern and lead according to the will of God and according to the word of God. So I'm sure he faced numerous problems. Don't you agree? I'm talking about whole Bear County. He's got the whole Bear County. He's responsible for everybody. He's the king. And so he faced problems at home. He had some family issues. You know, he had two wives. You know he had some family issues. So, and then he had some children that were acting up. So he had family issues at home. He had problems in his government. He had government leaders that were trying to betray him, just like we have in our nation sometimes. Problems and pressures from people, and problems and pressures from persecution from the enemies. So he had trouble all the way around. But the Bible says he prayed 3 times a day. How often are you praying and petitioning God? Now, 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, now, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In other words, not all prayers prayed are heard. So you need to take away from this verse. Not all prayers that are prayed are heard. Which prayers are heard? He said, if you ask anything according to his will, in other words, his word and his will are synonymous. His revealed will come to you specifically. This is what God wants you to have or do. So if you ask anything according to his will, then he hears you. So it's the prayers that are prayed according to his will and his revealed will in your life, according to his word, that are heard. Then the second point is this. All heard prayers qualify to get answered. That's guaranteed. So as a supplicator, as using our faith as a supplicator, we petition God according to his word and his revealed will for our lives. And when we pray those prayers, we don't have to be eloquent. We don't have to be a professional public speaker. We just have to pray according to his will, according to his word. And that qualifies that petition to be heard and to be answered. Somebody say glory to God. So confident supplicating and praying in faith requires knowledge of God's word and his will. Do we know? We know it's God's will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. So when you ask him about claiming your child or grandchild's salvation, is that a unscriptural, unheard prayer request? No. No. That prayer is qualified to be heard. Let's go to supplicating for others. We see here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth. See, here it is, speaking again. Boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, for that which I speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, you are to supplicate for speakers or ministers. So it's always curious to me. I said, how many people have prayed for the pastor, for their preacher? How much have you prayed and asked God to bless and embolden your pastor to speak the truth uncompromisingly? Amen. Sometimes people miss out on a blessing. Because you're trying to get a blessing instead of being a blessing. Come on now, to their pastor or their preacher by praying for their pastor, and that blessing could come right from their mouth. That can solve one of your life's most biggest, bugginest questions and dilemmas. So let's not be people who try to get a blessing and then miss a blessing by not being a blessing. Come on now. You got to pray for the people around you so that you can be a blessing and not just try to get a blessing. He said, pray for me as well as the saints. That means you got to pray for your family, faith family, not just your natural family. What have you prayed over your brothers and your sisters? Well, they're different. Well, they're difficult. Yes, it didn't qualify and say, and put a caveat and say, they're different or they're difficult, so I'm not going to pray for them. So we speak for the preachers and teachers, the vessels of ministry, we are instructed to supplicate for utterance. That means they speak what the Holy Spirit through the word has them speak, that they preach the word with all boldness, without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because only the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 2, chapter 1 through 4. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 4. Everybody say, my faith is to be used as a supplicator. All right? First chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's good to pray, isn't it? Who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. See, our prayer life, personally and corporately as a family or church family, should comprise of four basic components. First, supplications. Second, prayers. Prayers is simply worship. Because worship is part of our protocol and prayer procedures that we should practice on a regular basis. We'll get into that later. But then later on this year, probably, if the Lord allows. And then intercessions and giving of thanks. Intercessions and giving of thanks. Which giving of thanks is a word of thanks for and about them. We give them a word of thanks for and about them. So, for example, when I pray for people in this church, or I pray for people over me in the Lord, or I pray for civil leaders and government kings and those in authority, I say thank you for them. I said thank you for those I see here. I said thank you for those, call them out by name. Thank you for those online. What does thanks do? Thanks puts you in a position to receive them and to respect and honor them. Y'all know the dangers and the ungodliness of ingratitude or unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is next to unholiness and ungodliness. It's one of the most ungodly things you can do is to be ungrateful and unthankful. So if I'm going to receive this sister right here or receive this brother back here, I have to first have an attitude of gratitude, have an appreciation for them so I can receive and honor and esteem them. But we we're talking about supplications, but, you know, you can't pass up the fact that this is Thanksgiving week. Praise God. Opening your hearts before God to give honor and value to the Lord for them, motivated by your love of God, compassion and care for the people. Now, look at the four basic components of prayer described in the outline in these scriptures above. We see the priority and the progression and protocols of prayer. First of all, we see the priority, the progression, and protocols of prayer. He said supplications, that's first priority. Prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. See the progression and see the protocols. And then you see number two, the plurality of prayers. He didn't say supplication once or prayer once. He said plural, the plurality of prayers. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. That means not just once, but in every time, at all times, on every occasion. Meaning they are not just to be prayed once. They're to be ongoing, continuously, consistently, and persistently. And then we see the people involved who we're to pray for all men. What does all men mean? The good ones, the bad ones, the ugly ones? I mean, ugly in nature and attitude and action. I'm not talking about physical appearance, but I'm talking about ugly people, just ugly, nasty, mean people. For others, in other words, people that are, we are people-centric, other-centric in prayers and prayers for people, putting people priority first in our praying. I often ask other peers of mine and in ministry and say, okay, you know, you got to pray and get this decision and discernment from God on who to vote for, but the Word of God tells us who we should pray for. The Word of God tells us to pray for all men, for all kings and authority. So did you pray for the other side? No, but some people post about what the other side's doing, what that they think is wrong. Some people may publicize what the other side or the other platform or the other person has done. Let's pray for them. So some people say, well, I said, I pray for them all the time. So it's hard for me to talk about them. It's hard for you to talk about people you prayed for. You've got petitions in heaven. You want them to be granted. So you're not going to talk about your family members. You're not going to talk about your friends behind their back. You're not going to talk about the other political platforms or parties or candidates who you don't like, what they stand for. You're not going to talk about them because you're going to pray about them. Pray for them. Because he wants what? All people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved. He wants the worst politician you could imagine to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. So we want to contribute to their cause of being saved, being born again. Now, they may not make that choice, but you're going to give them every opportunity because you're praying for them. Now, let's define supplications for a second. It's specific and exact. That's what it means. It's a petition, an earnest entreaty, earnest request, a formal written request, boldly praying the word, boldly and confidently declaring and decreeing the word over others, and reminding God of his promises, his word, on behalf of someone else. It's a petition. So you're praying his word, and you're praying his will over their lives. It's an entreaty. In other words, a plea, an appeal, a cry, and it's a humble request. So a supplication is a petition. It's an entreaty. It's a humble request. See, the Holy Spirit helps us supplicate and submit our petitions to God properly because he is the Holy Spirit. He's an expert in knowledge. He's an expert in procedure and protocol. And he has persuasive speaking ability. And so, in other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't just pray for us. He comes alongside of us to help us pray. Romans 8:26-27, Amplified Classic says this way. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray and offer to pray to offer, nor how to offer it worthily. See, a petition has certain protocols. You can't just run into a court and say, I'm going to file this petition before the judge. There's a procedure. There's a protocol. There are spiritual protocols in prayer where we file a petition in the realm of the Spirit before the judge, our Father God, in the courtroom of heaven. So prayer is legal business, friends. You got to have faith in the process and faith in the premises to work for it to work as faith as a supplicator. He said, we don't know how to offer it worthy as we ought, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication. Isn't that good? And pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings, groanings too deep for us. So in other words, we don't know how to offer it right, so the Holy Spirit helps us offer it right. Helps us pray about it right, the right way. Because we said it in some of our prayer sessions, you know, some of the old saints, old prayer warriors used to say, well, if you get stuck, if you don't know what to do, hit it in tongues. That's what you need to be doing. Praying in the Spirit. Hit it with tongues. Because the Holy Spirit is to help us pray. And it says, and he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit and what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. You say, Lord, I don't know what your will is in this situation. Maybe it's a family situation. But I need my faith to be a supplicator. Holy Spirit, help me. In Jesus' name. And step over in the Spirit and pray about that thing. Hit it in tongues until the burden lifts or shifts. And you get a note of victory. In other words, a note of victory, then you start praising and thanking God, and you start singing to God. That means that burden has been lifted. That burden has been shifted. And you're light. And you say, okay, it's taken care of. He helped you put a petition in. Somebody said, glory to God. See, praying in the Holy Spirit in tongues helps you to stir, to stimulate, and to strengthen our faith to act. Jude 20 says, verse 20 is only one chapter. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, you do this by faith. You say, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit to stir up my faith, to stimulate my faith, to strengthen my faith, to act in faith, to act on the word. Some people have faith in their heart and that faith in their attitude, but they don't have faith in their actions. So faith as a supplicator is faith-filled praying and faithfulness to pray. Faith-filled praying and faithfulness to pray. Now, if we took a poll or survey or did research right now in this room and online, we would ask, what is your current prayer assignments and prayer responsibility? See, if we can learn to be focused, then we can learn to stay faithful. And some people don't know, what are my prayer responsibilities? Where's my prayer assignment? Because God's house is a house of prayer. His family are praying family. We conduct business with our Heavenly Father through prayer. So if you can articulate, if you can go down the list and say, what are my prayer assignments and what are my prayer responsibilities? Because everybody in this room and everybody online, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, Christian believer, Christ follower, you have a responsibility to pray. If you're a laborer or a leader in the kingdom of God, your first big challenge is prayer. That's why we need to have faith as a supplicator. We needed to be praying often and regularly. Not just for ourselves, us four and no more. God bless us four and no more. No, we need to be praying about others. We need to be principally, primarily being used, allow the Lord to use us as an instrument of supplication and intercession for others and for other things. That's why we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our other laborers. We pray for life in general around us. Now, here's some supplication examples as we close. Y'all get something out of this today? All right, so Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6 and 8 says, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, this is what we're talking about Jesus, when he was on earth, had offered up prayers and supplications. Did you know Jesus prayed and supplicated? With vehement cries and tears to him, to God, his Father, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, talking about Jesus, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Now, a lot of people have not walked in this area of supplication and suffering because you don't always get to do what you want to do when it's time to pray. When the Lord wakes you up or gets you up or tells you to put that up, meaning a phone or a TV or device, put that up and go pray. That's part of your suffering. Cup that you have to drink. This is like you drink a cup of tea or a cup of water. That means you got to lay your life down, humble yourself, and pray. And Jesus did that. And in the garden, he was crying out to a point to where he's vehemently crying and said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When's the last time we're going to put that down or put this away or push the plate back? And say, Lord, my family looks like they're going to hell in a handbasket. My kids are running off the reservation and look like they don't even think about God at any time during the day. And we need to pray. It looks like things are coming unglued financially. And we need to stop the bleeding. Come on now, push that plate aside, put that device down, cut that TV off, and spend some time in prayer. One minister said one of the biggest sins that Christians commit is the sin of prayerlessness. It says in Samuel that Samuel says, far be it from me that I sin against God by ceasing to pray for you. You know, we don't want to cease praying for the people who have problems, people who cause us pain, people who bring pressure and put it on us. We got to pray for sometimes people who are ugly and mean and nasty and no good to our well-being and our peace in our life. We got to pray for them. See, this was Jesus suffering, supplicating and suffering and doing the will of God. Guess what? When you start doing the will of God, the devil's not just going to open the door and say, oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to leave you alone. No, he's going to block, stop, hinder, harass, try to hurt you, try to really take you out. That means your prayer life needs to be taken up to another notch. Amen. And Daniel, when he saw the prophecy, he was supplicating and seeing the word of God come to pass. It was when he got Jeremiah's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, and he opened it up and saw this is the season and time that these things need to be fulfilled. And he saw the vision of 70 weeks, and then God opened up his eyes, and he was able to see the future. Guess what happens? When you are walking in the will of God, you need to take the words that were spoken over you, the words that's been spoken to you, preached to you, the words that have been prophesied over you. Come on now. And you need to say, Lord, I need you to open up my eyes and help me see the future and see the end and help me to pray it out. Come on now, to pray it out and pray it down and pray it into manifestation in my life. You know, Oral Roberts' mother was a woman of faith, and she used her faith as a supplicator. She had other kids, and we all know Oral Roberts. He's in heaven. He built Oral Roberts University, but he had a big healing ministry and all that kind of stuff. And And she said all their kids had brown hair. And she was pregnant with Oral. And she said to him, said to the Lord, Lord, this baby, she was going actually to minister and help another lady. She's 8 months pregnant. She's jumping the fence and helping this lady get through a crisis or a dilemma. Strong woman of faith. And she said, Lord, and she jumped, when she jumped on her face, she felt like she was going to have the baby earlier or something. She said, no. She said, Lord, if you help me, she's sitting down on the ground. You help me deliver this and help this person. Then we're going to have this baby. Then we're going to have this baby. And then she said, but she had one more month to go. She said, but I want to be born full term. I want him to be a boy, and I want his hair to be a different color than the other kids. And I think it was black. It could have been brown, but it was black. So I want his hair to be black. Now, all the other kids were brown-haired kids. But she put her faith petition in heaven. And she said, Lord, I want to preach. Be a preacher, just like his daddy. He's going to preach the gospel. Did you know that woman had her petition in heaven before that man was even born? He came out a boy. He came out with black hair, and he became a preacher. We know one of the most famous preachers in our history. Time. Somebody said, glory to God. It's faith as a supplicator. Now, when Oral and Evelyn Roberts were getting ready to have Richard Roberts, their son, their youngest son, Evelyn Roberts was a woman of faith, too. She said, they had a meeting in Dallas, conference of Dallas. She was very pregnant, and she was due to have a baby a certain day, and she always believes God that says, okay, when the baby's due, he's coming. I'm not going to hold too long. I'm not going to premature. She's going to come that day. So, come that day, Richard had to go out of town for a meeting they said they want to get in Dallas, Fort Worth. She's in Oklahoma. And she said, called her and said, well, they want me to stay on for this revival meeting. You know, a lot of miracles, signs and wonders and ministry going on. And what do you think? If you want me to come, I'll come because I want to be there when the baby's born. He said, no. She said, no, Oral. We'll just move the date back. You go ahead and finish the meeting through this day. Come when you get done, come on home, drive back to Oklahoma, you know, from Dallas, Fort Worth. He got back way in the morning. And then the next morning, we'll get up, go to the hospital, and we'll have the baby on this day. So the baby didn't come on the day that was originally designed. They moved it back. And he tells the story. He said, on that day, they got up. You know, he got in like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, from the meeting and all that stuff. And Dallas, driving in from Dallas to Oklahoma. They got up, got dressed, went to the hospital. She showed up. She said, what are you here, ma'am? What are you here for? She said, I'm here to have my baby. Okay, we'll put you in the room and examine you. And so they examined her. And they said, well, you're not even dilated real good yet. She said, no, I'm going to have the baby today. And you know, a couple of hours passed. And they thought, okay, well, she's probably out of her mind or something like that. And let's just go check her one more time before the nurse came in and checked her. And she yelled out, doctor, come on in. She's getting ready to have the baby. So she had dilated in those 2 hours up to enough point where she was in labor. And she delivered the baby right on time, right on target, right on her faith. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. See, that's supplicating for a specific need. So we supplicate for the will of God. We supplicate for for our family, for our future. We supplicate for our specific needs. I remember Brother Hagin said he prayed. He felt led to pray the Ephesians prayer, which is a spiritual supplication, the Ephesians 1 prayer. He said after he prayed it 1,000 times, every day, he said, then revelations and wisdom opened up for him in the scripture. After he had prayed it 1,000 times for himself, And God has spoke to him. I'm taking you on to dreams and revelations and visions. And then he said, I learned more in 6 months than being combined almost 20 years of ministry. That's praying for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Because we need to know the hope of his calling. We need to know the riches of our inheritance. We need to know the exceeding greatness of his power. There was a man, I'm closing with this story. There was a man who had a farm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was farmland and, you know, big haystacks up on the farm. This is way back in early 1900s, I guess, or so. And this man, Holy Ghost man, farmer, out there on the field, would go up, brother, on top of that haystack and sit on that haystack and pray in tongues and prophesy over his land. He said, Lord, I want this land to be used for God. I want this land to be used for God. I want this place to be a place for God to move. I want this place to be a place where people are trained in the will of God. And he prayed that over and over again on top of that hill, praying in the Holy Ghost, walking around his property. Over the course of time, it became the property of Kenneth Hagin Ministries and Rhema Bible Training College. A place where God told Brother Hagin, through Brother Hagin, said, we're going to build the school and we're going to train students for ministry. It was on that very spot, sister, that man had prayed a half a century ago. Come on now. A half a century ago, praying in the Holy Ghost, making petitions to God, saying this property is not going to go to hands of evil men and evil for ill places of ill repute. This place is going to be a place for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it became Rhema Bible Training College. And worldwide, there's Rhema graduates all over the world, over 20-something thousand preachers and teachers of the gospel and evangelists and prophets and apostles all over the world that are affecting the kingdom of God for good. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. Faith as a supplicator. Faith as a prayer. Come on, let's stand to your feet. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your mercy, your kindness, your faithfulness, your love.